Good afternoon. The title of my presentation is Examining Racial and Ethnic Minority Inclusion Rates in Stroke Clinical Trial Manuscripts. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Lauren Southwick, Heather Kaczynski, and Bernadette Bowden-Albala. The funding for this project, it's a five-year study. It's funded through the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke and the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities. The PI is Dr. Bowden-Albala, and I have no disclosure relationship. I'll talk a little bit more about the study in a second. So just to place this in context, within the past 20 years, we have seen policies and laws in terms of inclusion rates of women and racial and ethnic groups. In 1993, there was a policy that was initiated by the NIH to ensure inclusion of women and people of color, and then that became, in 2001, became public law. So we have these policies and mandates in place, yet we've seen some progress in terms of reporting and inclusion rates, yet we're not quite there. We have 37% of the U.S. population consists of people of color, yet we have 10% who are in clinical trials. And furthermore, not just in terms of funding, we also have a great disparity in terms of reporting these data in manuscripts. So I, just to give you a little bit of a reference, the study that I will talk about will be stroke clinical trials. Burke and colleagues conducted an analysis on the proportion of women and people of color in NINDS-funded phase three neurological trials completed between January 1985 and October 2008. And while they did see some increases over time, we still see some considerable disparities in terms of reporting, and that's particularly significant given the burden of disease among women and specific ethnic and racial groups. So while 100% of trials reported enrollment by sex, only 40% of manuscripts reported any kind of information on race, and furthermore, only 25% indicated ethnicity. And so the five-year study that I'm a co-investigator on is called the National Initiative for Minority Involvement in Neurological Clinical Trials. Our main objective or goal is to expand and enhance knowledge and barriers of retention and recruitment practices for women and for underrepresented groups, particularly women and racial and ethnic groups, and also to identify and optimize best practices to create a multidisciplinary and a comprehensive toolkit of resources that researchers can use in terms of their efforts in recruitment and retention, as well as to provide information to patients. So under the goal of the NIMIC project, the objective of this study was to use a multidisciplinary methodology to examine and capture the landscape of racial and ethnic minority and female participant rates in NIH and industry-funded stroke clinical trials, mostly primary outcome manuscripts. So we conducted a review of Medline and to identify phase three stroke trials. Inclusion in our study was primary outcome manuscripts, looking at prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation, adults at risk for post-hemorrhagic and ischemic stroke. We restricted it to the English language in the US, and our dates were 1995 to 2013. Data we looked at, we analyzed patient demographic information. It included sex and gender, race, ethnicity. If race and ethnicity was reported, we looked at subgroup categorizations. If we found subgroup categorizations, we wanted to understand if percentage of women in those categories was reported. We looked at type of funding, recruitment, if recruitment methods were outlined further than just inclusion and exclusion, and clinical trial registry. So what we found is, during the time frame, we found 3,887 manuscripts that we identified through the review, of which 3,331 were excluded for several reasons. One was that there were duplicates, or they weren't adherent to the study design, or they were outside the U.S. So then of the 576 remaining, another 380 were excluded as they were not based on primary stroke outcomes. So we ended up with 192 manuscripts, of which there were 193 trials, because one manuscript described more than one trial. So in our sample, 80% of the trials were completed and had stroke as an outcome. Most were published in 2004 going forward, and in top-tier journals such as Stroke, New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, as you can see. So across the 193 trials, we had 700,000 participants that were enrolled during that study period. Over 80% of trials reported sex and or gender of participants, but only 30% of trial study samples had at least 40% or greater female participation. And that's sort of in contrast to what we see in terms of race and ethnicity. So less than 50% of trials reported race or ethnic information in general of participants. Of those 94 trials that reported race or ethnicity, 65% included ethnic subgroups. And what we mostly saw is that the study primarily documented white participants and then the other, as the other category. And we only had about 20% of trials that reported at least 20% racial and ethnic participation. We had nearly 70% that registered on clinicaltrials.gov, and about a third were funded by NIH. And this is a preliminary analysis that we wanted to see if there was any kind of relationship between NIH funding and the factors we were interested in, and we only found a significant relationship in terms of not even just reporting, but just, I mean, having NIH funding at least 20% participation. So we didn't see any other relationship in terms of sex or even just biracial or ethnic group, or any of the other factors that I had mentioned. So about 34% those manuscripts had additional information on recruitment methods that went beyond just the inclusion and exclusion. So they told us a little bit more about sort of some of the challenges that they faced in terms of recruitment. So you can see some of these additional data that we essentially saw. So our study required more than 2 years to complete the enrollment of 100 patients because of difficulty in recruitment. Now, this can obviously be because of trial design, trial mechanics. Hopefully we'll try to investigate a little bit more in terms of what are the other factors. Could it be related to reporting of race and ethnicity and or women? So to wrap up, this is just a preliminary look at this, but we do see some similarities in terms of what Burke saw and the trials that him and colleagues looked at were NINDS. We looked at primarily stroke trials. So we believe this is the first study to examine inclusion rates of women and racial and ethnic minorities, including that were NIH funded or industry funded, that phase three trials, and there were primary outcome manuscripts. We clearly see that there's reporting that is better than, we see that there's good reporting, but clearly there's a lack of getting us to basic population levels. And we were able to capture additional information with regard to recruitment. And so this speaks to a little bit having this additional information in terms of recruitment and retention, it speaks to the consort group that sort of has these basic reporting. It's an evidence-based recommended structure standards for reporting clinical trials. So our limitations include a significant number of ineligibles, as you clearly saw. We were bounded by just published clinical manuscripts. And finally, we weren't able to look at any kind of differences in subgroup analyses because most trials reported race and ethnicity simply by white and or Caucasians. So our findings provide additional insight into reporting of trial participant demographic information and recruitment methods in stroke trials, stroke clinical trials. Clearly, there is additional attention that needs to be made towards disparities, how we report peer review and open reporting structures, how we implement and hold people accountable in terms of oversight, in terms of these regulations. A possible method that I'd like to sort of pose to the audience is thinking about, we're talking about reporting, but if we think about the funding structure and we think about when NIH, for example, is reviewing the proposal for funding, it would be critical at that point to really understand where we are in terms of getting the representation of racial and ethnic groups and women into clinical trials. So we all fill out the enrollment form, right? The form that says X number of women and X number of people in terms of all these different race and ethnic groups, but where's the rationale for that? Like, so, you know, can you tell me how did you actually do it? Can you actually get those people from the hospital that you're at? Can you get it within the disease state that you're actually looking at? So I think it behooves us, and hopefully to get additional oversight in terms of federal agencies, to have us do it prior to sort of getting in the middle of a trial where we're trying to struggle, and we might be struggling in terms of getting representation of racial and ethnic groups and women into clinical trials. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.